This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:15, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Once again, big thank you, Stephen, over at the Shrimp Basket. Much appreciated as we are continue to do the radio thing here throughout this process and continue to support all local businesses out there. And y'all just keep us in the loop, too. Information about your small business will pass along. And tomorrow, the first of our new series here with my friend Cam Marston. It is a special What's Working Coronavirus edition, and it's tomorrow at 1 and Thursday at 1. And we'll probably do this every week, a one-hour show where Cam is interviewing those people that have the information that small business folks need. Whether it's navigating the SBA loan process, it's questions about employees and questions about marketing, all these things that small businesses are facing right here at home, Mobile and Baldwin counties. Y'all got to listen tomorrow at 1 and again on Thursday at 1. Plus, we'll put it up with our 44, 45 hours a week of podcast. It'll go up as well. But yeah, tomorrow at 1, the inaugural, and we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, check in with George Talbot from the city of Mobile. But first, I mentioned it, and I tell you what, because I don't want to run out of time at the end of the hour, be in one of those situations where I do and then I don't live up to what I promise. So, okay, we're going to do what I think is the best coronavirus parody song yet. And I know those who are ready to just be upset by anything might get upset, but this is, I don't think making fun. I think it's good to have, you know, somebody who has a creative outlet here and in the right tone does a parody song. I've seen a whole bunch of them. This is my favorite. Maybe it's because I'm a child of the 80s, was a fan of the Police, or just like the writing that went into this. This comes from the folks Truth Smacked over there on Twitter. They put this up today, and here it is. So this is I Don't Want COVID-19, which sounds a whole lot like the Police's Don't Stand So Close to Me.
You see, she wanted so badly to keep the virus from getting free. It's inside you, there's no use, no symptoms to display. Crashed markets, stores closed now, people are panicking.
Don't stand.
Pick up the song at the end of the hour, or for sure the 1 o'clock hour. A little taste, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, of I Don't Want COVID-19, of course, as the Police originally sang it, Don't Stand So Close to Me. All the people saying, why not My Corona? Come on, y'all, you're not any more cynical than that. That one's too easy. That's too easy. Show some creativity, that one that was just rolled out. All right, let's check in with Communications Director with the City of Mobile, George Talbot, and a lot to talk with George about. Thanks for hopping on.
Good to be with you, and I was thinking of some other songs. I Drink Alone by George Thorogood, Dancing with Myself by Billy Idol. There are a lot of ways you could go with it.
The social distancing jukebox playlist. We'll have to start working on that on Twitter. Just a little bit of vacation from thinking about what is a serious subject and dealing with coronavirus. Let's talk about the city right now. I know the mayor talked about the two facilities set up, Lad Peebles and Out at the Grounds, for testing. And now we have a date that we're going to get those kits in?
Yeah, we're told by the lab that's manufacturing that they believe they can have them ready by April 1. We're hoping it can be sooner than that, but that's the date that we think we'll be able to hit it sooner than that. Hopefully, we're up and going by this time next week.
So how is that going to work? Is it do you call ahead like I've been hearing with other facilities, or do you just show up?
That's right. That's if you look at what they were doing in Birmingham, and the Church of the Highlands really took the lead on this and did a great job getting out there and ended up conducting more than 1,000 tests. I think they're still tallying that up. But they just sort of really figured it out as they went. And so we sent a team up there on Saturday to get some lessons learned, get some recommendations, and got some great feedback that we'll implement as we get this up and going in Mobile.
Okay, so it's going to be kind of just a parallel to what they did up there, except in the case of Church of the Highlands, that's private. This is public, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah, we'll end up the city. We're not a public health agency, and so. The mayor's actually out this morning meeting with leadership out at USA Hospital, and we'll need to, the hospitals have to be involved in this, and they've got the healthcare professionals, and so exactly what this looks like, we have to kind of see. This is all new territory for everybody, but bottom line is that we're not waiting around on somebody else. We're proactively getting out there and making this happen.
What happened yesterday, give us a Cliff Notes, Wikipedia version of what happened yesterday with the Big Ten mayors meeting. I know they had a conference call with Senator Jones.
Correct. And they've been staying in touch, the mayors, throughout this process, talking regularly, both by conference call and by text. They've got a tech group going and just sharing ideas. Here's some things we've done. Here's some things that have worked, things that haven't worked. That's been a great resource. And so Senator Jones actually led that call, and he kind of provided an update of the federal legislation, which is, you know, kind of tied up in partisan politics, unfortunately. But he did express optimism that they would get the Senate would get a bill out, and the number that is being tossed around is in the $2 trillion range. So hopefully today they'll be able to break that log jam and get a bill out. And so he kind of provided an update on that. Then the mayors kind of went around and talked about different challenges they're facing, which I think it's pretty consistent wherever you are in Alabama, around the country. It's getting the test kits and then the protective gear that you need to administer the test. So there's a nationwide shortage on that. And the federal government is up and rolling, but again, wanting to be proactive. I know Mayor Stimson's view was, I'm not going to wait on somebody else. I'm going to jump in here and see if I can find these resources and get them into our community. And the good news is, I think we've made a lot of progress on that front.
Yeah, you're not the first to have said this, but I want people to hear what you're saying as well. It's the test kits, it's the PPE, the personal protection equipment, and I guess the actual testing. So it's not, we all just think about it, oh, it's the swab or something like that, but it's more than just the swabbing that's needed.
That's correct. You've got to make sure that, you know, in my my layman's terms, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but that you're properly administering it and that you're properly preserving the samples, and you know what I mean, that everything is being tracked properly. And so there's a whole kind of process behind it, and we're working all that out. They've been very generous, that is the Church of the Highlands and some of the lab professionals up there, with sharing us some suggestions and how to organize it, and we're going to definitely use that as we get our test sites up and going.
Yeah, they have, of course, there in Jefferson County, have the most confirmed cases of any county in Alabama. We look at Mobile County with two cases, George. I know that most likely, I don't know, but most likely more cases will come up when the testing is available. But people look at this right now, and I know you're hearing about it, and they say, look at all the shutdown. Look at what this is doing to small businesses in our city. And right now we only have two confirmed cases.
It is, first and foremost, a public health crisis. And it is a crisis. It's a threat to the health and well-being of the city. But it is also an economic crisis. And as this plays out over the next few weeks and maybe even months, there are some real serious economic impact that this is having. And you're seeing that first wave kind of in the hospitality industry and restaurants. But as it lingers and as it continues, that's an area that we have to address as well. Again, first priority is stopping the spread and dealing with the health crisis, but we also have to think about the economic ramifications of this, which are very serious.
Yeah, and that, of course, goes from the businesses in the city, the people, to government. And I know there was a little bit of the discussion of what may be done at a federal level for small business, but also for municipalities. Have you heard whether there will be any kind of funding coming from the Fed? Because obviously the tax revenue is going to be decreased. I don't know how much, but obviously it's going to be decreased.
Sure. So we're already kind of looking at those costs and the projections in terms of the revenue. We're, as everybody knows, we're heavily dependent on sales tax. Obviously sales are down. We can kind of project forward what the trends may be looking like. Still kind of early in this, but yes is the answer. There'll be some federal money, but we're not going to wait around on a check from Uncle Sam to do something we need to do to protect the citizens. So we're getting out there, you know, first of all, keeping the wheels of government turning, but also making sure that we're doing everything we can to be supportive of our healthcare community and helping them stop the spread.
I just worry for the longer term with budgets built on projections on revenue coming in through sales tax. Those have been, I would imagine, upended at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a very real consequence that cities all over Alabama and all the mayors are staying well connected with that. But right now, our focus internally has been making sure that all the city services are functioning for the citizens, and you know, you just can't say enough about the great workers, particularly our first responders, police and fire, who are out there every day, and that extends to our public works guys who are working their tails off like never before. So city is functioning.
Yeah, and that was a lot of questions I had this morning. People said, what functions of city government? I'm paraphrasing several of them, but they're basically saying, who's not going to be working? Are they going to be doing trash? Are they going to be doing garbage? Who stays on? Is everybody's on right now with the city, right?
Yeah, everything that can be shifted online or by phone, we're getting that done, and we've come a long way in 7 days to making sure that everything that can be done online and by phone is being done. So that's good. That means things like permits and business licenses and all of that can be transacted through the city website or by phone. And if you go to the city website, you can get all that information. The other services, what you'd call kind of the core essential services, no disruption there, and they are showing up every day and getting the job done.
Is there anything different when they're back at the office or headquarters that they're doing differently to try to prevent the spread?
Absolutely. We've the same guidelines that we're out there encouraging the citizens to use, we're employing those within the city as well. So social distancing is funny. What does that really mean? Well, keeping that distance. If you can work by phone or telework or work from home, we're encouraging our folks to do that. That's really a decision for the department heads. The group meetings, everybody's using Zoom or some teleconferencing app now to conduct business meetings of the city, and some things are getting pushed off. We certainly have canceled all the events, public events, mm-hmm. and looking at everything we can do to contain and stop the spread. That's the best thing all of us can do.
And just 1 minute left here, but I saw that also the discussion of the pulling back from the police jurisdiction, that has been tabled as well, right?
Yeah, we were going to have a meeting tomorrow, actually, with the sheriff and the county and council members, and we're just going to postpone that at this time. We've got more immediate crisis to deal with coronavirus, so I expect that will come back up in time in the weeks ahead.
Hey, questions of the city, still 311, or is there another route right now? What do people do?
Yeah, absolutely. 311 is the easiest. That's the front line. If you've got a problem that is not an emergency, if you have an emergency, always call 911 for that. The 311 is a great resource for any service requests or questions or any kind of information from the city. That's a great place to start.
As always, I appreciate your time, George. Thanks for being on with us.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Have a news conference at 3 o'clock today, live streamed on the city's website. Look for details on that.
Okay. We'll be tuned in. Thanks. George Talbot, Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile. And we're coming right back. And Todd Stacey going to take us to Montgomery next.